Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith. Again, I'm Cynthia McCutcheon, and I am so honored to have you join us today. Our topic today is a little bit about motherhood. Have you ever been called you're the mean mom, or you just don't get it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. My guest is Joanne Kraft. She is a mom of four and the author of Just Too Busy, Taking Your Family on a Radical Sabbatical, and her recent book, The Mean Mom's Guide to Raising Great Kids. She's been a guest on Focus on the Family, Family Life Today, and CBN. Her articles have appeared in Parent Life, Today's Christian Woman, In Touch, Thriving Family, Proverbs 31 Woman, and more. Joanne and her husband Paul recently moved their family from California to Tennessee and happily traded soy milk and arugula to sweet tea and biscuits. That's my kind of girl. Hey, Joanne, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Cynthia. Thanks so much for having me on your show again.
I am so honored to have you again. We talked last time and had a blast, and then your new book came out, The Mean Mom's Guide. Let's talk about it, because I know I've been called a mean mom, even with mine grown and in college. You know, sometimes I think I'm a mean mom, or maybe a crazy mom. But
yep, all of the above, me too. Well, the mean mom's guide
came about.
Well, it came about. Well, we were just talking about this earlier. It was born. The idea came to me in a police department. I worked as a dispatcher for years, and my dispatcher friends enjoyed hearing me take calls from parents. And I think that's one of the things that surprises a lot of my readers and a lot of the people when I speak at conferences, is that there are a lot of parents that dial 911 for some desperate help, some parenting advice, and they'd be really surprised just what they're calling about, and they need answers. And I think what was surprising to me was just how many do, and my dispatcher friends were saving those calls for me after a while, Cynthia, so I got to be like the on-call parent line. So that's really how it came to be.
Wow. I guess you just don't really realize that people call for that, too.
They do. I think a lot of times we think they dial 911 just for, you know, vehicle accidents or, you know, someone choking. But the truth is there are a lot more people who use 911 because of its anonymity, as much as not really. Obviously, the police officer and the police department is going to know where they're calling from, but their friends aren't going to know they've called. And that seems to be a safe spot. And it was interesting. Just a lot of them just needed encouragement just to do what our kids would think is the mean thing, whether that was taking away their cell phone or whether that was, you know, telling your teenager, you know, you don't get the car keys. No, you have every right to take that privilege away too. And all those things that I think kids, no matter what their age are, think are mean, parents just needed some encouragement and some coaching.
So this book came through those experiences and kind of launched it. So how did you even know where to go with this? And what makes you think you're a mean mom?
What does it mean? Well, the definition of a mean mom, and I think most of us moms figure it out, you know, a mean mom is a mom who lays down boundaries when it's hard, you know? And so what I did is I separated the book into sections, and I kind of figured, what were the questions that I was getting the most of from parents, or what were we doing as a family that kind of stood out, that a lot of families went, that she looks mean to her kids, but hey, her kid, it seems to be working, you know, her kids actually still like her. And so I separated into four sections. The first section is like the making of a mean mom, you know, whether, you know, it's walking by faith, putting your marriage first, praying. But then the next three sections are pretty much age appropriate. You know, like Mean Moms and Munchkins are more for preschoolers and maybe grammar school age, and that's about teaching kids hard work, how to, teaching them respect, how to encourage them. And the next one is I call, the next section is Mean Moms and Minivans, which is more the pre-teen age years. And I talk about things like disciplining your kids. I call the chapter Mean Moms, Mean Business, or Mean Moms Embrace Failure, that it's okay for your kids to fail. And I talk about technology in that section. And then the last section is called Mean Moms and Motrin, because Cynthia, with teenagers, we all know that's what we need a lot of sometimes. And I just talk about entitlement in those chapters, dragging your kids to church, purity, all those things that we have questions about. And I just pray, I do it with humor, that it encourages the parents. I pray that.
That is such a much needed topic, because there are those parents out there that don't know how to instill a boundary. You hear all the time that, I just want to be their friends, and you've got to be their mom or their parent before you can be a friend. That's for later in life.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So how do you help these or encourage these kind of overly nice marshmallow moms? I got that off your website. To instill a few much-needed boundaries.
Oh, wow. Every mom begins as a marshmallow mom, and a marshmallow mom is just that sometimes sweet, soft, and loving mom who has a hard time, as soon as her little one gives her that boo-boo lip, or, that's the marshmallow mom that we all really are. And what I do to encourage them is I share with them other stories. I was very blessed to have a group of, at the time, it was at least 150 moms at that time, that I had a focus group on Facebook called the Mean Mom Team. And they were a group of moms, and are a group of moms. I keep talking in the past tense, but I just sent them a message just now. And they helped me write the book. They gave me their input, how things have worked with them, what hasn't worked with them. And I also received a lot of help from other authors who gave portions of what encouraged them with their kids. And so that's weaved throughout the book, because I really believe, Cynthia, God's given us the gift of discernment and wisdom. He says all we need to do is ask for it. And I think, if anything, I just hope parents will realize that, you know what, God already equipped us. That doesn't mean that we don't need encouragement and we don't need other books. But I think sometimes we think that our hard or tough situation is just so unique with our kids. And God already equipped us, because he chose us for this child. And I want to give them that encouragement to be empowered, because they already have been by the Holy Spirit, to be able to be those parents when it's hard. I think ultimately every parent, we all want the same thing. We want to raise independent, God-honoring, hardworking kids. But we steal these opportunities from them every time we, say things like, well, that's okay, I can pick up the toys faster or better, I can vacuum better, or I can, why should my high school senior get a job this summer? Because, heck, it's his last summer off. Well, you're not helping your kids by being soft and sweet sometimes.
That's exactly true. That is exactly true. So let's you broke down how the book is laid out. So let's just start at the top. What is the making of a mean mom?
The making of a mean mom, a mean mom is a mom who sticks to parenting when it's hard. She doesn't shrink back when her child thinks she's mean, though, you want to, she doesn't. She sees the bigger picture. In the first section of my book, I explain what mean really means, and I give a list of, what does it mean? Well, a mean mom keeps her word when it's hard. A mean mom gives, models, and expects respect. I have a whole list, but I'll give you just a couple. A mean mom treads water longer than her child can make it rain. Not a good one. A mean mom can tread water longer than her child can make it rain. A mean mom doesn't let her fears override her child's freedom. A mean mom asks forgiveness for her mistakes. And a mean mom loves passionately, encourages openly, and behaves righteously. That's a mean mom.
I love that. In other words, we're not mean as in, hateful mean. We're mean as in we mean what we are made to do.
That right. We mean it. Right. We mean what we say. And God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He wants us to mean what we say and say what we mean and act the same way.
Right. It's not given. This book isn't giving you freedom to be the grumpy mom or be the hateful mom. It's being a mom that means how to bring up her children in a godly way.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next step of work. You know, it's kind of crazy when they're little. And to set boundaries when they're little. We all hear the terrible twos. I've been there. I remember my youngest was, headstrong. And to set boundaries, that was hard. So how do you encourage those moms? What do you have to say to those moms that are in that stage right now?
Yeah. And I just say, God bless every one of you. I get it. I have four children myself. And I'll tell you something, Cynthia. I just came across journals that I kept for my kids when they were little. And I was just telling my husband this week, Paul, do you know how crazy our life was 10, 20 years ago when these kids were all so little? I mean, I'm reading work schedules and sports schedules and life and just things they were saying and doing and my frustrations. And what I would say to that mom as far as, you know what, you don't need to die on every hill. That's one thing I'd say. You don't. The other thing I would say is whatever you can do to find time with God, whether it's putting your Bible in the bathroom for 90 seconds, whether it's having an audio Bible app on your phone and having it on when you put your makeup on so you can hear the Word of God, something to get you some peace. Because where chaos reigns, Christ doesn't. He's the Prince of Peace. Mm. And that's your first connection. If you can just crawl and just turn something on or read something quickly or have a friend praying for you, that's huge. That is huge. Because the biggest battle sometimes isn't our kids. It's us. We have to find that peace. And if we can get to him first and fast, that's awesome. Now, as far as the boundaries with the kids, on the other hand, there are some things that are deal breakers, you know. And in our home, it was definitely moral issues, lying, being deceitful. I found my one son's going to be 21, Cynthia, and I found in this journal that I've been reading, I found bipolar as a mother. I'm going in one part of it, I'm going, I love you so much, son. God has such plans for you. The next chapter or the next entry is like, I want to kill you with my bare hands. What is going on? And he went through such a lying phase that that's a hill to die on. And what you need to do, and that's where that part in my book says you can tread water longer than your child can make it rain. You need to remember who you are and whose you are in Christ. Lean on him, and just that is a battle you pick, and that's what you do.
That's true. I want to say most moms of boys can understand that part about the lying and all that, but I think it goes both ways. I am a mom of just boys, so you know that's where I am. But I also am with a lot of girls. Wow. So you talked about that, and then what about these middle-aged kids? Because like you said, life gets busy. We have schedules, and it's going here and there. And, you know, we have church in the middle, and we have God, and we have sports or cheer or mom, whatever. How do we find those balances and still maintain our sanity?
Yeah. Well, I really believe it just kind of goes back to when you're wishing away time, which is what I've been there, when you start looking at the calendar and saying, boy, sweetie, if we can just get to 2 weeks from now, we can breathe. When you start wishing away God's gift of time, you're in a bad spot. And one of the things, just looking back now, my oldest is going to be 24 this year. And just looking back, Cynthia, now I think, you know, what would I do differently? I can't say there's some things I would do differently, but you know what? My mom passed away when I was a very young mom, so I was very aware of the brevity of life. So for me, that was a bittersweet gift because I thought, hey, I only have so much time. So because I saw time that way, I did try and carve out time each week, whether it was hanging out with the kids or just sitting and reading a book as a family, those things that kind of feel uncomfortable nowadays, but get to be some of your greatest memories, those times. That's huge. With the pre-teenage, here's a little secret I'm going to tell any mom of pre-tweeners and teenagers. They say they don't want you around. They say they don't want you in their life. They do. That's a lie. They need you, and they need you more than ever. And I know a lot of times we think, oh, I know I was a full-time working mom when my kids were babies or real little, and I thought that, they're not going to miss me now, they're going to miss me now. They're not going to miss you when I'm teenagers. And you know what? You need to be home just as much around teenagers. They need you. They're little people in big bodies trying to grow up. And you need to be present. When you look at Jesus in the Gospels, he's present. He's there. He's with his people. He's God in flesh come to earth to be present with us. And one of the greatest things my husband does, and he's always been good at this, he's present. With me, I can ignore the kids sometimes in the car. Oh, goodness. They're like, Mom. My husband, he's present, and that's huge. They need us there.
That is so true. And I love that you threw that in there. It's not just the mom. The dad needs to be present as well. Well, let's kind of take a little sidetrack here on this. They're at that stage where they're saying, I don't want you, I don't need you, don't come around, don't be around my friends, but we need to be there, and honestly, they really do want us there. So how can we do it without embarrassing them? How can we be that mom but not be that mom?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a line that you cross a lot, because if you are that mom and you're affectionate, you probably are that mom anyway. But I think for our kids, you have to know your kids. I mean, we do embarrass our kids, and we have been known to be awkward. I know my son was playing football. My oldest son was in high school years ago, and I made the mistake because he hadn't had dinner. I walked a cheeseburger onto the sidelines, and my family still is mortified. My husband was coaching the team, and he could not believe that mommy would bring his teenage son a cheeseburger. So my husband grabbed the cheeseburger and ate it in front of the whole team. But I mean, some of those things, I think it's just our nature. But I remember being at church, and my son, it's just something that we did regularly, affection. And I'm saying boys, because boys, I think, can be even more awkward sometimes. I have girls too, but with especially affection. And so with my son, I would just, it was common. When he comes home from work or came home from, he'd give me a kiss. Hey, son, I love you. How was school? Or work? And I'd talk to him. And he goes away to college. He's in college now, but he goes away he wants to go to vet school. And so he'll go away in about a year. So I say, hey, okay, well, give me a hug, goodbye. And it's just common. So that kind of grows normally. With my girls, teenage girls, when they're little, it's so much easier to pull them up on your lap and they just accept it and want it. Teenage girls can be really wicked with their words, I think, sometimes. And with boys, what you see is what you get, and it's over. With girls, it can linger and fester like a wound or something.
Right.
So it's a little harder with girls. But my oldest being moved out and on her own, I know she still wants to hear from me. So it's, again, you still want that presence. You want that parent there.
Right, and I think you have to take it child by child. One wants that hug in public, and one doesn't. One, you just have to really take it by their personality and what maybe their love language is of how they perceive and want you there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so now we've been through the little ones, and now the middle ones and the teens and tweens. And you've got some that have kind of moved into adulthood, young adulthood. Do boundaries stop there? Do they tell us a little bit about how you can still be that mom as a guide to them?
Well,
it does go
into
the friendship at that point. But
yeah, it does. You go from, really, that's true. You go from being in charge of everything, being the total CEO, to being the coach, and then to being, just a trusted advisor. you know. Mm-hmm. So
that's perfect.
But with my I'm still dancing that dance with her. We're going to be on vacation, and she was going to stay at our house. And even now as an adult, it's like, okay, so here's some boundaries, you know. It depends on the kids. I mean, every child, like you say, every child is different. If you can trust an adult child, some adult kids are much more mature than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are different boundaries. If I had children that had a history of drug addiction or a history of maybe pornography or something where I didn't feel comfortable with them being on our internet, not because I don't trust them, I don't trust what the enemy can do to get their attention, so I'm not going to put them in that position. So that would be a boundary. I'd say, you know what, you're not going to stay at our house. Just not this time, or whatever. You have to have those hard boundaries. But I don't choose what my kids wear anymore when they're out of the house and moved out. I mean, they're adults. I can't choose what church they go to. I can't choose, you know. It really is, as an advisor, well, I'll say this, there are boundaries. And out of respect, and that's what I talk about in my book, I Mean Mom Models Honor, because respect and honor, respect grows into honor. And ultimately, that's what God asked of us, to honor Him, to honor our parents. And with that comes a blessing. Well, that honor and respect that you teach them at a young age, as an adult, I really don't have to worry that when my daughter comes over as an adult, she's going to bring in a pornographic movie. You know,
right.
I mean, there's honor there that she knows to respect us. And,
right.
You know, and if she didn't, you know, or any of my kids, if they were out on their own and they came to my house, and though they're adults, they're dropping, you know, foul language at the dinner table. Well, that's awkward and uncomfortable, and now I'm going to have to ask you to please don't talk that way in my home. I would do that with anybody visiting around my kids. So it really becomes, an adult relationship. It just is more difficult because our heart's involved.
Exactly.
Boundaries are there forever. And God created boundaries. God in creation, he tells the sun and the moon to go here and there. He tells the ocean it can only come so far. Boundaries have been there from the beginning. And commandments, the commandments are a good thing, the Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
So if you love your children, here's the thing. All of this said, you love your children 10 times more than you ever have to be on them about boundaries. That love is huge. And when you love them passionately and you encourage them openly and you behave righteously, you model it, being a mean mom isn't that hard. It isn't as hard as it could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk just a minute, Joanne, about, I mean, we're getting close to our time's up. So what would you say to the mom that never really started those boundaries, never instilled them, but now she's feeling that call on her life that she needs to go back and start? How can we encourage that mom so that she won't give up, that she won't throw in the towel, that she'll stay the course?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that question, Cynthia, because my husband and I didn't become Christians until after we'd been pairing for about 8 years. And so all of a sudden some things changed at home. My kids are like, what? We're going to church. Well, I don't want to go to church, you know, those kind of things. How do we turn that around? And it's true, it is harder when your kids are older. As your kids get older, turning that ship around can be harder, but it isn't impossible. I would tell that mom you're loved by God. God wants you to succeed. And because of that, He's going to help you do it. And what I would do with my kids is I would sit them down, you know, maybe individually, maybe have a hot chocolate with them, depending on their age, and just say, hey, here's the deal. Parenting is fluid. Growing up, you're growing up, and so am I. I'm growing up as a parent, and there's some things that maybe I did. I look back now, and I realize I didn't help you by allowing these things, or there are things that I did, and I hope you can forgive me that I allowed, because this isn't going to help you in life. And it breaks my heart that, you know, this is whatever you've done, you know, that I've allowed to take place. But you know what? Because of this, I'm going to start fresh. And whatever I'd tell my kids, and I think as teenagers it gets harder, but just say, here's how it's going to be from now on, and let me tell you why. And, again, depending on the maturity level of that child, they may not get it. And that's where you got to be a mean mom. And that's where later in life they'll respect you so many more years for being that mom than they will those couple years they think you're cool and fun.
I agree. My children are both almost in their 20s, and they have come back, and they have said, thanks, Mom, for not just letting us do whatever. And they do come back. I mean, they still at times like, really, Mom, you're doing that?
Well, I do tell parents, too, even as far as teenagers and curfews, we tried that with our oldest, and we made a mistake. We don't have an official, you've got a 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Well, for one, we're former police people, so my kids, nothing good goes on after 10 o'clock, in our opinion.
Yeah.
If you want to hang out with your friends, come to our house. It's just that we know too much, you know, we just do. And so, unfortunately, they have that element in their family. But we're fluid. Basically, it's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Whose house are you going to be at? We don't say, officially, you're this age, so you get this. No, that isn't how it works. It doesn't work that way, you know, growing up. It doesn't that you have to have that maturity level. I have to be able to trust you. And when I can, and when I do, when you make the phone calls and let me know you're going to be late, or you do those adult things, then I treat you more like an adult. And so so that's just very fluid. It's a very, you know, you just have to tell them, I'm the parent, and this is how I think I'm going to do the best for the Lord. This is, you know, ultimately, we've told our kids a few times, God's going to ask me someday about how I raised you, because we take this seriously. And we want to tell them we were faithful and we did the best we could because we loved you.
I love that. And because that's true. It's kind of like the Bible tells us about the teacher is held to a different standard. And I think that's just as a parent also, that we have to answer to how our children are raised, because that's, like you said, it's a gift. They are gifts to us from God for this time being. So, well, Joanne, we are out of time, but I want to give the listeners just a few little places where they can find you. So how can, if someone's like, I need to know a little bit more about this woman and what she's got to say, how can they find you?
Well, they can find me at my website, joannecraft.com. They can find me, they can get my book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I am going to have a leader's guide up. Oh, goodness. I'm going to be starting some moms groups are going to be going through my book this summer. And so I should have a leader's guide up on Amazon pretty soon if y'all want to be looking at that once you read the book and see. But you can find me pretty much anywhere, Cynthia.
That's great. Well, you had mentioned a Facebook page. Is that open to the public, or is that kind of a quiet group?
No, it absolutely is. They just need to request to join, and I'll sign them in. And we basically pray for one another every week. If anything's going on in our lives, we share it, all kinds of things. It's just a spot where I still, even now, I was asking them tips for my leader's guide, and the moms will answer up, because so many of their quotes are in my book. They were great ladies. They are great ladies.
Right. So how's that Facebook page listed?
It's just look up the Mean Mom Team or Joanne Craft, and they'll find it. I'm the only Mean Mom Team on there, on the group.
That's great. Well, Joanne, I want to thank you so much for joining me again. I love talking with you, and I love just giving encouragement and equipment to our moms out there, because it is a struggle. And like you said before, so many times we think it's only us that go through this. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And for those of you listening, I want to thank you also for joining us today. Just pray that you, if you're struggling as a mom, that you maybe reach out to Joanne, reach out to her resources. Grab this book. See how you can apply it. Because being a mean mom really isn't being mean. It's helping our children learn how to be godly children. So thank you for joining us. And until next week, I just pray that you will have a blessed week. And remember, share your story. If you want to find us, it's myjourneyoffaith.com. or Facebook, My Journey of Faith Radio. We'd love to talk with you. Until next week, bye-bye.